If you have your Bible, by the way, how many's got a Bible? Wave it at me. Thank you. Amen. I was going to read this whole chapter. I'm not going to do that tonight for time's sake. Can I ask y'all to do me a favor? When you go home tonight, read the whole chapter of Exodus chapter 15. Turn to Exodus chapter number 15. And as you're turning, I'll talk a little bit and get you kind of warmed up to where I want to go tonight. How many of y'all realize that as a Christian, we were saved by the blood? Amen. Nod your head at me. The children of Israel were saved by the blood. They put the blood on the doorpost. And when we get into chapter number 15, they have exited Egypt on their way to the promised land, cleansed by the blood. And you're going to notice when you get to chapter 15, a couple of laws are first mentioned in this chapter. First of all, you're going to be introduced for the first time in the Bible to singing. Do you know up to Exodus chapter 15, there's no mention of singing. But it's mentioned in Exodus 15. Somebody ought to praise Him right now. Aren't you glad when God saved you, He put a song in your life? Somebody help me preach right there. Now, I am preaching tonight on this. Listen carefully. I am preaching tonight on life's journey. Now, the Bible said that the children of Israel was an example to us. Some to do the right thing, and in some cases, to learn from what they did wrong. Somebody help me preach. Now, in this passage of Scripture, they're going to have four stops in life's journey. And in these four stops, it's going to picture what every one of us go through in our life one time or another. And I think I'll help you tonight. I believe you came out on Wednesday night. You came because you really want to be here. You really want to be taught. You really want to hear God's word. And I plan on giving you a good dose of it tonight. Somebody help me preach. Now, I won't read all this chapter, but let me read some of it. Let's start reading verse number 1. I'll read down to verse 10. Then I'm going to jump a little bit. Are you there? Say amen. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Oh, glory. He is my God. And I will prepare Him in a habitation. My Father's God. And I will exalt Him. Listen to this. The Lord is a man of war. You really don't have to fight your battles. The best thing you can do is let Him fight them for you. Dear God. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou have overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Sendeth forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of Thy nostrils. Look here. Woo! The waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I'll overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind. The sea covered them. And they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Now, I'm to go down to verse 22, and let's read to the end of the chapter. I'm going somewhere, by the way. Y'all with me? So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Stop number two. And they went unto the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Somebody help me. And then let's go on to verse 23. And then when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured. First time the word murmured is mentioned in the Bible right there. Against Moses. They didn't want to have a Moses appreciation day. Tomorrow's my birthday. They wouldn't have a John Smith birthday party. So what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. Whoo! There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee. I believe God can protect us from this plague we're going through. Somebody help me. Which I had brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look at verse 27, fourth stop. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they camped there around the water. Now let me ask you a question. Come on now, church, help me. What's the common theme of those four areas that I mentioned? I didn't hear you. Loud. How many got it? Water. All four stops, John, was a place of water. Ladies and gentlemen, I will show you in the next 20 to 25 minutes your life's journey in these stops at this water. Number one, write this down in your notes. And I'm just teaching tonight, and I might come off with a little preaching. Somebody help me preach. First of all, they were singing about big waters. Here's what happened. You know, some of y'all listen to too much TV preaching. This thing ain't a bed of roses. They got saved by the blood. And some of you thought, boy, I got delivered from the bars, and I got delivered from the drugs, and I got delivered from everything, and I ain't going to have no problem. I want you to know something. As soon as they left that place, Pharaoh, who was a type of the devil, came after them. I wasn't saved 24 hours till the devil was after me. But I want you to know he ain't got me. And here he come in behind them. And on this side, mountains. And on this side, mountains. And in front of them, the Red Sea. Big waters. What does big waters demand? Every one of you in this room, sometime in your life, is going to face big waters. Is that Leah back there? Is that Leah? Leah's right now having to walk on a cane. She's faced in her little life some of the biggest obstacles that a young girl has ever faced. Can I tell you something, Leah? I've got a God that's bigger than the waters. I've got a God. I am about to get loose. I got a God with his nostril, with his nostril. That sucker went up, congealed, and 3 million people walked across on dry ground, and God gave them a miracle. You may be in this room tonight saying, I'm hopeless. I don't know where I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to turn. Can I tell you, you're just one step from a miracle. You're just one step from a miracle. You're just about ready to get your miracle. And God will divide the big waters. Glory to God. You said, Preacher Smith, I'm laid off. You're getting ready to get a miracle. Amen. Preacher Smith, I'm ill. You're getting ready for a miracle. You know, I've been asking God for a miracle in my own physical life. Amen. I'm not ready to retire. I'm ready to refire. I want y'all to know something. I got a whole bunch left in my soul. So, when you come to something you can't move. Now, let me ask a question. How many of you have ever been there in your life? Raise your hand. Have you ever been to a place where there ain't no way you could get through it? No. And let me ask you, how many have you been there before and you've seen God's miracle? And you can look back right now and you can say, I can take you to the place where he performed the miracle. I got a Red Sea, preacher. I got a Red Sea. I got a place that here with his nostrils he raised it up. I got a place I walked across on dry ground, preacher. I got a place. Oh, hallelujah. See, I just want to tell you something. Somewhere in life, you're going to face something bigger than you are. And here's what you're going to have to do, whether you like it or not. You're going to have to bow and humble yourself to his sovereignty and believe that your God is a God of war. And that your God is the God who fights your battles. And that your God is a God of salvation. And your God will take you through. Do you know how bad I want to stay there for the next 30 minutes? When God saved you, what a miracle it was. When God changed your life, hey, some of you used to hang out in the bars. There's some of you that used to do drugs. There's some of you on alcohol. There's some of you were so perverted with pornography. But now you're saved because God did a great miracle in your life. Number two. I want to stay there, but actually, that's not all about, that's not what life's all about. Now I'm going to take your second thing. Isn't it awesome? Look at verse 22. Ain't it odd, Lois, that God gave them more water than they could handle. And then they took a walk out of through the Red Sea and came to a place called Shur. S-H-U-R. You said, what's that mean? Here's what it means. It means to be walled in. And the Bible said, and they could find no water. Went to the Red Sea or the big waters, and he provided a miracle. But then they come to Shur and could find no waters. Number two, whether you like this or not, there's going to be some time in your life when you're going to go through barren times. You're going to be dry as a box of crackers. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. How many's ever been there? Come, somebody look at me and wave at me if you've ever been there. Well, you couldn't find no water. You look for God there, and you look for God there, and you look for God there, and you look for God back there. He wasn't there. Now here's what some of you better hear me. They couldn't find no water. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that means there wasn't no water there. Wrong. Because if you go back to Genesis 16, there's a little woman named Hagar who built a well, who was at a well at Shur. Now, here's something. There are going to be some times in your life, you hear me? When you can't find no water. But everybody else got water. How many's ever been in this situation? Everybody seems like they're getting blessed, but I ain't. What did I do wrong? Where did I go off the rail? What did I do? Not a thing. Because see, big waters are for a miracle. But listen carefully. Barren waters are for maturing.
That's good preaching, Pastor.
See, here's the thing about it. If every experience we had was big waters, Craig, and we experienced miracles every day, we'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. Somebody help me preach. We would not appreciate the great times. We would not appreciate the victory if we didn't have the barren times. And the barren times don't mean you're backslidden. The barren times don't mean you're lost. The barren times don't mean you did something bad. It just means that God has allowed you to be walled off more time so you can grow up. I want you to know something. Some of these young preachers, like Chad and Jared, well, Jared Green has been here a while. Some of these other young ones. The last 10 years of Taze Valley has been glorious. And been glorious. Y'all wasn't here when your pastor came into that little building up there at the right. And there's 84 people here. And it was dry here, boys. It was dry. It didn't have the excitement we had and we go through every week. It didn't have the music. It didn't have anything like we have now. And I want y'all to know something. My first 20 years here, there was a lot of dry times. But I want to tell you this. I think I am the man I am today because in my barren times, I didn't let it stop me. I just stayed for God. Even though there wasn't somebody at the altar every week. Even though there wasn't somebody maybe giving great amounts of money in the tithe. Maybe we were still stuck in a little box up there. But I want to tell you, God used that barrenness. God used that trial to mature me, to grow me, to make me a man that one day I can lead this church in a direction that gives God all of the glory. Michael, you're going to go through barren times. You're just starting off as an evangelist. Do you know you've done one of the hardest callings in the world to get started in? I want to tell you. Starting cold turkey as an evangelist is a hard thing. It'll make you wonder if you're even really saved and called. Come on now. But listen here, son. I ain't supposed to get close. I ain't got no mask. I'm going to preach to you, man. You look at me. You just grow up and let God mature you. Because he's getting ready to bless you big. But you got to let that die. It might seem walled. You might say, I ain't got all the meetings I want to have. I wish I was preaching all over the world. Hey, hold it a minute. God will open the doors where it's appropriate. But sometimes he shuts them down. Sometimes he boxes you in. Sometimes he allows you to go through dryness so he can make something out of you. All right. Number three. I'm preaching a quick sermon. I'm preaching a 50-minute sermon in 20 minutes. Look at verse number 23. We'll slow a little bit. After they left there, the Bible said, and when they came to Marah, could you imagine them? Could you imagine? Now, I'll tell you what I'd have done, Jeff. I ain't got no water. I'm thirsty. And I'm walking through the journey. And I see a water hole. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do me a swan dive right in the middle of it. And I'm going to sip it, drink it all. And I'm going to tell you what them old Israelites did. They jumped into that water and started drinking it and spit it out. Because it was bitter. I'm going to talk to you. She looked at me and said, what are you preaching on tonight? Did you? Okay, you didn't. But anyway, somebody today asked me what I was going to preach on tonight. Are you going to preach on bitterness? Maybe they was reading my mind. I want you to know something. Whether you like this or not, before you get through life, you're going to go through bitter times. Maybe you've got a marriage that's ruined or broken, and you're bitter. Maybe you're bitter at that husband or bitter at that wife. How in God's name can you get better? How can you deal with it? Maybe it's somebody that's done you wrong. I want you to know, I'm not proud of this. I've had some folks kind of hateful of me and have done me real bad. And I almost hate to tell you this, but I went through about 4 months. I felt like I hated everybody. I was so angry. I said, I give my whole life to this. How can you treat me like this? And I got a little bitter, a little frustrated. Come on now. Please don't try to look up the stars. We're all there. Ain't a person in this room hadn't had a bitter experience. Maybe a bad church experience. Maybe a bad marriage. Maybe a bad work experience. I don't know. But you can't live in bitterness. Say, what do you do, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. But remember the law of first mentions? They started murmuring against the man of God. Like that helped. It's your fault. We could still be eating garlic and cucumbers down there in Egypt. What for you, Moses? You're the problem. No, he wasn't the problem. They were the problem. And then Moses was given an order from God. You want to get over bitterness? Oh, dear God. You want? Hey, look, you want to get over it? He went down and cut a tree. I didn't think you, I don't think you got it. He went and cut a tree. And the tree fell into the waters. And then the waters became sweet. I want you to know, every once in a while, we all have to take a trip back to where He saved us. Back to the hill called Calvary. Back to the tree of God where He shed His blood for us. I tell you, there's nothing that'll make you sweeter and better and less bitter than the knowledge of knowing there's a God in heaven that loved you and cared for you and died for you. So what are bitter waters? They're merciful waters. You know that 4 month period? I want all y'all to hear this. God didn't tell me He was mad at me one time. He wasn't mad at me. He just pointed me back to what I needed to go to. I needed to go to the cross. I needed to apply the blood. I needed to let Him bless me and remember where I came from. So, bitter waters become better waters because of mercy. We ought to be frying in hell tonight, but the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. So the next time you get bitter, just start remembering what He done for you at Calvary. Remember Calvary. Remember the blood. We're still walking, ain't we? Now, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite. Look at the last verse. I want everybody to see this. Y'all been taking the outline down? Because it's going to get good right here. Verse 27. And they came to Edom, where were 12 wells of water. and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there around the waters. We did a little word study today. Elam was the most extensive water course in the western desert. An oasis adorned with great variety of trees, among which the palm trees are those that show off brightly. And it was fertilized. Woo! It was about a mile wide. And the thirsty traveler would come there. Can I tell you what that's called? That's called blessed waters. See, I want y'all to know something. Please get me. We may go through big waters. And we may go through barren waters. And we may have bitter waters. But we are a blessed people. And let me give you something. Just got this in the scripture. Y'all want a good one? I'm going to give you two good ones. Gary, you like good ones. You want a good one? How many whales was there? Somebody tell me how many whales was there. Now I want to ask you a question so I don't lose my theology. How many tribes? Twelve tribes. See, blessed waters are tailor-made waters. They're waters that God has made specifically for you to bless you. Oh, well, let me give you one more thing. How many palm trees were there? How many? Well, let's see here. Help me here. How many elders of Israel were there? Some of you getting quiet on me. How many were there, Brother Michael? You know what the Bible says. There were 70 of them when Moses got weary and God said, you got 70 elders there. They'll help you and pray for you and take care of you. I want you to know what God does for the elder. God does for that man. He gives him a palm tree. I'm sorry. And you know, there's something about a palm. How many been to Florida during a windy hurricane and watched them palm trees hit the ground? Why did they bounce back up? Because them palm trees, their tentacles, their roots, always go around a rock and wrap around it and drape around it and get glued to it. I'm about to get drunk in the Holy Ghost right here. I want you to know something. Sometimes the winds blow, but we're not going to be tumbled and toppled because our roots are around the rock. And we are blessed people. We are blessed people. We are blessed people. Somebody say it. We are blessed people. Bow your head with me. I'm done. Just a little talk today. How many of you? Let's go over the message. Right now, you're going through a place where you're in big waters and you need a miracle. Raise your hand. Thank you. How many right now are in a place where you kind of seem dry and you're barren and you've almost thought you wasn't right with God? How many raise your hand? Yeah. How many right now would say, Pastor, I can't help it, but I've been a little bitter, a little angry, but I don't want to be. I want Calvary's cure. Pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to ask you, of you that raised your hand, won't you just come around the altar right now? Let's have a little talk to God. Somebody get the piano or... And there's people coming. Father, as our people stand at their feet, God help them tonight to come and get a touch from God. We'll praise you. We'll honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.